We'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the third chapter. I'll be reading there from just a moment. Before we do, I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening. Those of you who may be visiting with us, we're so glad you've come to be with us tonight and to worship with us. And if you're from the area, we certainly hope you'll come back and be with us soon. Past few sermons, I've preached about one another. And as I said this morning, our relationships with one another. It's all about our relationships and how we treat one another. We talked about love one another, which is probably where the most one another scriptures are found concerning loving one another. This morning we talked about being kind to one another. And tonight I'd like to look at something that Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says. It says, "But encourage one another day after today, as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Now, who doesn't like to receive an encouraging word? Who doesn't appreciate maybe a kind word that is spoken to you at a time where maybe you need it the most? Doesn't it make you feel good that there's someone there who's willing to stand with you when maybe you're going through some very dark days or troubling days in your life? What a great feeling it is just to know that someone is there for you and someone is there with you. And that's the idea of encouragement and encouraging one another. And that is being there for one another, helping one another, offering an encouraging word to lift someone up. Encouragement is so valuable. The Proverbs speak of the value of encouraging words. Back in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, the proverb there says that anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. A good word, an encouraging word, can bring anxiety out of someone just to let someone know that they're not alone, that you're there for them. A few proverbs over in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. It says that pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the soul. Sweet and healing. It's like a honeycomb. And then in Proverbs 25 and verse 11, it tells us there that like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. Do you see the value of just an encouraging word? As it says here, a word that's spoken appropriately in the right circumstance. You know, another one of these one another commands then, to encourage one another. And how we can build our relationships with one another by simply encouraging one another. I think the context, as we read from Hebrews 13 just a moment ago, is the encouragement of Christians encouraging other Christians. It's about we as brethren encouraging one another. And I'd like to speak to you tonight for just a few moments about that idea of brethren encouraging one another. And look at some of the scriptures, at what the scriptures reveal to us about the importance of encouragement. In Hebrews 13 and verse 3, as we read a moment ago, I think it's interesting that it tells us when we need to offer encouragement to one another. Notice he says that we are to encourage day after day, or I think some translations there say daily. It's not something we do every once in a while. I think the thought there is that it's something that we are going to do on a regular basis when it comes to encouraging one another. Certainly one of our purposes of assembling together is so that we can encourage one another. And we'll speak more about that in a moment. But also, even outside of here, I think there are opportunities that we have and that we should take to be an encouragement to one another. The Hebrew writer says to do it day by day, to do it on a regular basis. And then he goes on to say, do it while it's still called today. Encourage one another today. While you had the opportunity to do it, don't let the opportunity pass by when we have it to encourage one another. So it means that we do it on a regular basis. It means that we see the opportunities that are there for encouragement to one another and that we make the most of those opportunities that we have. I think it's also important that we understand the why it's important to encourage. As I said before, certainly it makes us feel good if we are encouraged by someone, especially in those times of life where, you know, we're down and maybe, you know, something's happened and we're feeling down and maybe we're feeling lonely or depressed or something like that. And just to know that someone is there for us. And there's great benefit that comes from that. You know, our encouragement can keep someone from, as Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says there, it can keep someone from being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Our encouragement may help someone to remain steadfast in their faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you'll flip over a few pages in your Bible there to Hebrews the 10th chapter, and read with me in verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking of our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, I think we've come to this text, and we come to it with one thing in mind. When we come to this text, the thing that immediately comes to mind is, well, you shouldn't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And we often use this text, I think, as a rebuke to people more than we do as an encouragement to people. And I'm not trying to say that we don't need to correct people if they are forsaking the assembling together. Don't get me wrong here. But I think maybe there's a different way of looking at this Scripture. I think that this Scripture was meant as more of an encouragement than it was meant as a rebuke. And I believe maybe that's the irony of this, because we look at it much differently. I think nothing, you know, encourages someone more than, you know, yelling at them, well, you shouldn't be forsaking the assembly, right? That's not very encouraging. I think we should approach this maybe differently. Yes, as I said, this rebukes forsaking the assembly. But if we would focus more on the stimulating one another to love and good deeds part, I think if we would focus more in this verse on the part that it says to encourage one another by our assembling together. Perhaps the problem of people forsaking the assembling of ourselves together would kind of take care of itself. If I'm feeling encouraged by assembling with my brethren, here's the point I want to make. If I feel encouraged by that, if I feel like I am stimulated or stirred up, I think, as that's translated in some ways, if I'm feeling those things when I come together with my brethren, then why would I not want to be here? As I said before when we began the lesson, who doesn't enjoy being encouraged? Who doesn't enjoy having that encouraging word said to them? So if we're truly doing what we need to do and we're coming to assemble with the right attitude, we will find encouragement in that. And it will be something that we enjoy and something that we appreciate. And so let's focus on our purpose of assembling. And it is not only to worship God, which is our main focus of coming together, but it's also that we're here for one another. You see, here's what we need to understand about our assembling together. We need to realize that it's not just about me when I assemble together. But it's an encouragement to others. And it's not going to only help me remain steadfast in the faith. But it's going to encourage others, the brethren, whom, as we talked about before, that we should love. It's going to help them in their walk with God and to stay steadfast in their faith as well. So it's important. It's important that we encourage one another. It's important that we assemble so that we can encourage one another. I think it's also important that we try to get rid of the things or eliminate the things that cause discouragement. You know, discouragement can be caused by many things. Pessimism is something that I think is something that can cause people to become discouraged. I think about the 10 spies who went to spy out the promised land. Actually, 12 went, but we know that the 10 spies, that they came back and said, "We can't do it." There were two that said, "Yes, let's do it. We can't, because God's on our side." But we see that because of the negative attitude, the pessimism of the spies, that they affected the whole congregation of the Israelites. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28, it says there, the people said, "Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, 'The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there.'" They looked at this and they said, "We can't do it." And they were pessimistic about it. They didn't think that they could do it, even though God had told them that they would. And the result of what the spies said, it filtered over into what everybody thought. And they said, "We just can't do it." And they didn't listen to the two that they should have listened to, who knew things like we are told in the New Testament in Romans 8 and verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." You see, when God's on our side, yes, maybe I can't, maybe we can't, but God can. And that's what I think that the people failed to understand, and that's the reason they were pessimistic in what they thought they could accomplish. They thought they had to do it on their own. No, maybe they couldn't beat the giants. Maybe they wouldn't be able to overcome the fortified cities if they were on their own. But what they failed to understand is God could do it. And that in the end, for those who love Him, all things will work together for their good. There in Romans 8, a few more verses down in verse 31, it goes on to say, "If God is for us, who's against us?" And that's something we need to remember. So when we start looking at things and we think, "Well, I just can't do it," or "We can't do it," maybe we can't, but God can. And as children of God and the promises that He has given us, we have every reason to be optimistic, not pessimistic. Let's don't be discouraged by pessimism. And let's put our trust and our faith in God, who can accomplish things that we can't even imagine. I think also we see that sometimes people give bad or foolish advice, and that can bring other people down. And I think about Job's friends. You remember the story of Job, how Job was a very rich man, but as a result of a test of his faith, God allowed Satan to take away basically everything that he had. And as Job had lost everything, had lost his children, had lost all of his possessions, had lost his health, he was in a terrible, terrible place. And he had some friends who came to comfort him. But you may remember, if we read through the book of Job, they weren't much of a comfort at all. That they began to question Job, and they thought they had all the answers, and they figured that, "You know what, Job? We know why this happened to you. You must have done something really bad." When it was just the opposite of that. Actually, Job was going through this because of his faithfulness. That's the reason that Satan had targeted him in the first place. But Job's friends, they thought they had it all figured out. And they thought, "Well, Job, you've done something terrible. Why don't you just fess up to it right now?" But Job knew better. And I think it's interesting what he says concerning his friends in Job 16 and verse 2. He says, "Miserable comforters are you all." They weren't a comfort to him at all, even though they were trying to be, I guess. Maybe they had good intentions, but it wasn't working out for them. Job needed encouragement, but all he got was bad and foolish advice and accusing words from his friends. And they really offered him no comfort at all. You know, discouragement often comes from people when they think they have all the answers, and they think they know the situation maybe, or maybe they know the circumstances that someone is in when they fully don't understand. And sometimes I think it's better for us if we just simply are able to be there for someone. Maybe it's not even speaking a word, but just to let them know that we're there. To let them know that they have somebody that's there with them. I think another way that maybe discourages us is found in Colossians 3 and verse 21. And there it's really talking about fathers and children, but I really think we can make a wider application of that. As it says there in Colossians 3, verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children. And notice what it says, lest they become discouraged. It's a New American Standard translation. Lest they become discouraged. If you provoke your children to anger, they're going to become discouraged. And certainly, I think, as I said, that's referring specifically to fathers and their children, but I think there's maybe a broader application to that, because if provoking children is going to cause them to become discouraged, I think if we provoke anyone, I think the result's probably going to be the same. It can cause discouragement among others. So we need to be careful that we're not provoking others to anger that may cause them to become discouraged. And I guess there's many other things. These are a few things that came to mind in some of the scriptures that we see that came to mind. When we think about discouragement, there's other things probably that can cause discouragement that we need to make sure that we're trying to get rid of those things and eliminating those things so that we will be encouraging instead of a discouraging person. Because we need to work to eliminate the things that will cause discouragement, not only for ourselves, but for other people as well. I don't think you could talk about discouragement without talking about Barnabas. When we think about encouragement, I think we have to talk about Barnabas. And I think we all need to strive to be a Barnabas. In the early days of the church, this man Barnabas, he was such an encouragement to the body of Christ that they didn't even call him by his given name. Barnabas was not the name that was given to him at birth. The name Barnabas actually means son of encouragement. So basically, that's what they were calling him. You think about sometimes people get nicknames because of maybe the personality that they have or something that they've done. That's what was happening here with Barnabas. That was kind of his nickname. He was such an encouraging person that people started calling him son of encouragement. Barnabas. And when you look at Barnabas, I think, find a great example of what encouragement really is. If we want to know what we can do to encourage one another, read about what Barnabas did in the New Testament. A few of those things, if you look in the book of Acts in chapter 4 and verse 36 and 37, and we see first that Barnabas was encouraging by his generosity to those who were in need. In Acts 4, verse 36, it says, "And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." The apostles would distribute that to the ones who were in need. But here he had land, and he was willing to go and sell that. And the proceeds that he got from selling that, he came and gave to the apostles to help those who were in need. What an encouragement that was to those who were needy at that time to know that there was someone who cared enough for them that he would go and sell his own possession and give it to them to help fulfill the need that they had. I think we can be an encouragement that way as well. When we're willing to see those who are in need, and as we talked about this morning, being kind to one another, and sometimes that is just seeing the need of someone and reaching out to them and doing something good for them to help them out, that's an encouragement to them. And so being kind to one another, as we talked about this morning, is indeed a way that we can also encourage one another, as the Scriptures tell us. Barnabas encouraged by being generous and helping others that he saw that was in need. Over in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 and 27, I think we see another thing that Barnabas did that was encouraging to someone as well. Remember Saul, when he first became a Christian, the brethren weren't real accepting of him, and I can understand why. I think if I was part of the church then and I saw that Saul wanted to come and be a member of our church, I think I'd be a little bit worried about that too. Because we know the past that Saul had when he was consenting to the death of Christians, when he was throwing Christians in prison. And by the way, the reason that he was going to Damascus in the first place when he was converted was because he was going to do more damage to Christians. To go and find more to put in prison. So now, all of a sudden, this change in the life of Saul, who now is the Apostle Paul, This change in his life, maybe some people thought, well, maybe it's a trick. Maybe this is his way of getting in and finding out who the Christians are so that he can then turn on us and go throw us in prison or worse yet, kill us. Are we really going to accept him into our number? Well, in Acts 9 and verse 26, it says, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. It was Barnabas that stood up for Paul. It was Barnabas that said, it's okay. I know him. He's changed. He's not who you think he is. And what an encouragement that must have been for Paul to know that Barnabas was going to be there and to speak up and to help him. You know, sometimes we need people to speak up for us and to help us in those times. And I think that we see in Barnabas someone who was willing to do that. That he knew that maybe that wasn't going to be the most popular thing he could say, but he knew what Saul had become. And now that he was Paul, he knew that they needed to be accepting of him. And he was willing to stand up for him, now a changed man. Something else we see with Barnabas in Acts chapter 11 and verse 22 and 20 through 24. In Acts 11, we see how Barnabas was one who encouraged the church at Antioch. It says in verse 22 of Acts chapter 11, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with the purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. You see, the encouragement that he gave to the church led to the church also growing. And people were continuing to being added to the church. And a lot of that was because of the encouragement that Barnabas was given to those who also had become Christians, as they were also going and teaching the gospel now. He encouraged the church in Antioch to continue in the faith. Are we a kind of person to encourage others to continue in the faith, to remain steadfast in the things that we believed? I think another example of what Barnabas did that was very encouraging was what he did with Mark. In Acts chapter 13, we see that Mark left Antioch with Barnabas and Paul. For some reason, he ends up returning back to Jerusalem. And we come to Acts chapter 15 then, and verse 36. And it says there in Acts 15, verse 36, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take John, called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. I don't really know what happened with Mark, but we know that he left them. Apparently, Paul didn't feel that confident in him anymore. But we see that Barnabas was willing to give him a second chance. Barnabas was willing to give him another opportunity. And Barnabas was an encouragement, I believe, to Mark in giving him yet another opportunity to go with him and to continue in his work for the Lord. You know, there's lots of examples I think we can see with Barnabas and the encouragement that he was willing to give. Sometimes we need to give people second chances. And what an encouragement it would be to them to know that maybe they have messed up in some way before, but we're willing again to give them another chance. As we talked about this morning, being kind to one another and having a forgiving spirit to one another is important. You know, Barnabas serves a great example. They didn't call him son of encouragement for nothing, because certainly he was an encouragement to many. how can we encourage one another? Why don't we end with this and just a few thoughts on that? Because I think the Scriptures talk about this as well, and we see many examples of encouragement to one another. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, we see how older are to encourage the younger. And I think of this from the example of Moses and Joshua. Remember, Moses had grown older, and Moses was not going to be able to lead the children of Israel into the Promised Land. But Joshua was going to become the new leader of the Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 38, Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. The message of God to Moses was, encourage him. Encourage him. Let him know what he needs to do. Give him some strength. Give him some comfort. Let him know what you've been doing as a leader. And let him know what he needs to do as a leader. And give him that encouragement. It was something that was important. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7 and 8, we see that Moses does just that. It says in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 31, "Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to the fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not be dismayed." There's the encouragement that Moses gave to Joshua. And notice what that encouragement was based on. He didn't go to him and say, "Hey, Joshua, you know what? You've got this. It's all on you. But I have confidence in you. You're going to be able to do this." No, he went to Joshua and he says, "You know what? God's going to be with you. God's going to strengthen you. So you can be strong and you can be courageous in this because the Lord will go before you. The Lord will be with you. The Lord's not going to leave you. The Lord's not going to forsake you." And sometimes we need to hear those encouraging words and have that encouragement to know that God has promised the same for us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. Sometimes maybe when we're in those dark moments in our life, those times where we're down and depressed and maybe lonely and feel like we just can't get out of the situation that we're in, maybe we just need someone to come along and remind us those encouraging words that Moses spoke to Joshua, that the Lord is the one who will go before you, that the Lord will be with you, that He will not leave you, that He will not forsake you. So be not dismayed. I think that's important for us, especially as I see in Moses. Moses had been through it. Moses had known what it was like to lead this group of people. Moses had been through those things that Joshua had not experienced. And so Moses, as an older person, now speaking to Joshua, who was younger, that was about to take over the job that Moses had, Moses could tell him, "Okay, this is what you need to know." And oftentimes I think it's important for the older ones to remember that maybe it is the younger ones that need some encouragement along the way and need to be reminded of things similar to what Moses was reminding Joshua of. I think it's also that we can encourage one another by letting people just know that we're praying for them. What a great feeling that is to know that there are people that are offering prayers to the Almighty God on your behalf. I think we see that in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and verse 32 from Jesus Himself. As He told Simon Peter there in Luke 22 and verse 31, He says that the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." What a great thing it is just to know that someone is concerned and loves you enough, they will offer up a prayer for you to the Almighty God. When you're suffering, when you're going maybe through some sickness or illness or whatever it is, the hard times that we face in our lives, just to know that there's others that are praying for you, I think is a great encouragement to know. I think we're encouraged through good deeds. We talked about that this morning as well in our idea of being kind to one another through the deeds that we do. In Acts 9 and verse 36, we see the example of someone who I think was an encouragement by the deeds that she did. a woman by the name of Dorcas. And in Acts 9 and verse 36, it says that Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. She was full of good works and charitable deeds. And those things were an encouragement to others. And I think that is evident if you look on down in verse 39. It says that Peter arose and went with them. And when they had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Do you see the influence of her encouragement that she had on so many just by the deeds that she did? So but good deeds can be an encouragement to one another. Our words, I think, are something that we encourage with a lot. Again, as we read earlier from Proverbs 25 and verse 11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. Our words are words of encouragement or discouragement many times. Which one are they going to be? Oh, are words used to build others up and to edify, or are they used to bring people down? And we talked about that this morning as well, and our idea of, are we using kind words or unkind words in our relationship with others? I think being there for someone just in general and supplying their needs when we see them in need is something that is very encouraging to others when they are in need. It says, Jesus said in Matthew 25 and verse 36, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And he goes on to make the point that when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. You see, that's what is encouraging, not only to the ones that we're helping, but it's an encouragement to the Lord Himself. Because it's as we did those things for others, it's as we're doing it for Him. So being there for someone, when we see someone in need, supplying those needs for them, what an encouragement that would be for them. You know, in a world where we have to deal with many things that are discouraging, in the church, the Lord wants His brethren. He wants us, as His followers, the brethren, to encourage one another, to be there for one another, to support one another, to do everything that we can to help one another. Question I have for you this evening, are you a Barnabas? Are you one who encourages? Are you looking for ways that you can encourage other people and build them up and edify them? Because you see, it's not just something that is a suggestion for us in the New Testament. That, hey, it'd be a good idea if you would encourage one another. No, it's something that is commanded of us as children of God to encourage one another. We need to be like Barnabas. It's something that God expects us all to be. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, we offer you the opportunity this evening. Come confessing your faith in Jesus, repent of your sins, and be baptized. And we certainly hope that if you've never done that, you'll consider that tonight and consider the state that you're in right now, lost without the Lord. Maybe as a Christian, you've been unfaithful to Him and you need the prayers of the congregation. We stand ready to help you, pray with you. We'll encourage you tonight and help you in any way that we can. We hope you'll respond while we stand.